This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
Come on, back. I have to turn the water on. Is it going in? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I have to climb up into the mow to get a bale down, a bale of hay. Okay, I shall be back. I don't like going up here because I have to climb a ladder.
Do you want me to?
No, it's okay. It's okay. I have to get used to it. Just catch me when I fall.
Listen to the land. A season with the Quinte Organic Farmers Co-op. Hello, I'm Michael Riordan. Summer into fall 2006, I visited with members of an organic farmers cooperative in three counties of eastern Ontario, in their fields, at farmers markets, and at the kitchen table. In this program, the first of eight, we explore how each farmer got into farming, by some quite varied paths. For Lorraine Schmidt of Time Again Gardens in Prince Edward County, it begins in Germany.
For me, definitely I have to thank my grandparents. They had a very small farm, just like one, two cows, a pig. And in the summer holidays, I was always there. I've always was fascinated the sounds of the pigs, And I loved being out in the garden picking the tomatoes. And my other grandmother, too, on my mom's side, she always had a huge vegetable garden. And we always had to help. And when I was 9 years old, my grandmother said to me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And of course, she had grand visions of me being, doctor, lawyer, or whatever. And I told her, "I want to be a farmer." And she was horrified. And she said, "No, you don't want to do that." And there I am. I don't know how many years later, but enough, and I am, so I feel really good. And it feels good that I did it myself, and I had a little bit of help with other people and Lori and everybody around here, but basically I said, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it.
Ken and Joan Marisette have farmed for more than half a century in Prince Edward County. At the end of summer on Maple Bray Farm, while Joan cans peaches, Ken recalls the advent of chemical farming.
Yeah, and then the Department of Agriculture started sponsoring meetings, and they'd have these meetings where you'd come and they would have the flip chart and they would, show all the needs for plants and you put this on and this is what would happen, you get this tremendous growth and big yield and all this stuff. That was a pretty heavy promotion. They'd run that for quite a few years. And you could go to these events and learn all the wonders of using the fertilizers and the chemicals and so on. That went on through the 60s, 70s, and 80s pretty well. We were being mentally conditioned to buy more equipment, and then of course you buy more equipment and you got to have more money to pay for it. So you got to get bigger crops. And this is the way to do it all, and it's all part of the industrialization of farming that was really taking hold. And the development of industry at the same time, and they were siphoning the young people off the farm to work in industry, and so that meant more mechanization, and the whole thing just snowballed, It wasn't really a system, I don't know what you'd call it, just a... almost like a contagious disease.
Henry and Janet Ellenberger farm on Coe Hill in North Hastings County. Janet works on the farm and at the Canadian Hearing Society in Belleville. Henry has farmed, one way or another, all his life.
Well, I was born on the farm. We were down in Essex County. And then we moved away from there, start looking around for different stuff. And we ended up in the Maynooth area on the farm there. And then when I left home, I always liked coming back to the farm, and when I came back, I always wanted to do something on them. If there was something to do on the farm,
What did you like about it?
Yeah, what did I like? you worked hard. I didn't mind hauling in hay, or my mother had a hard time keeping me in the house when I was a kid. the truck would come in. It was after dark, and I was supposed to be in bed, and I'd see the truck come in, and I'd run for the door trying to get my boots on before Mother could stop me so I could help. So, I don't know, it was just... And then we had horses, too. When the work was done, then we had the horses to go out and ride and play around with. So. And I got heavy into shoeing horses, and I missed the farming. And you keep thinking you can make a living at it, but I don't... That's the hard part, is we're still struggling to try to make ends meet with the farmer and just be able to farm without having to work off the farm all the time.
At Woolerdale Farm in Northumberland County, John and Anne Vanderhaden have farmed since 1981. They met in Holland and immediately recognized common ground.
I used to have a little welding shop. Pretty hectic life. Was never done, like, the weekends was always something that had to be finished off. And so basically we knew, like, if we ever would have a family, kids, like, that would be hard on the family, like. And then basically we thought, it would be something that I could still do my trade a little bit and to be self-employed and be at home, like. And then we came up with an idea to start to do mushroom farming.
How I grew up, my mother was always there when you came home. There was always, we didn't have much money, but there was always very good food on the table. And I think that was something that we, like all my brothers and sisters, took with us. And that's a very important thing to bring up your kids. That's what we said. If we ever have kids, then we have to be home. Food is, we have to be there. And we have to have good food on the table no matter what.
This is Listen to the Land. On a warm afternoon in late September, Ellie Blanchard harvests organic carrots at Railway Creek Farm near the village of Cooper in Hastings County.
So when Mom bought the place, she told everybody I was going to farm this organically. And everybody just kind of laughed, me farming. Over the years, I've just made my mistakes. I've done things and, I've proven myself. Then I got bigger and I got the first tractor and, I drove it. Grant didn't need it. He showed me how to use it and I bought my tiller with it. And Ellie's farming organically. And now she's driving a tractor. Yeah, I did make some rumors. And then now Grant's with the cattle and I help out with that. And I tell the women up here, if you want a garden, just take the tractor. Have your husband show you how to hook up the chisel plow and till up a little spot. Grant's supportive that way. He lets me do what I want. We're done with that box, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay, that goes in that one. So I have that freedom to do that. And I have to do it because he's not around helping. He has a job. So I'm very independent.
Currently president of the Quinty Organic Farmers Co-op, Achim Mosenbeek was born in Iran and grew up in Germany.
Can you tell me something about the journey brought you to farming?
The journey starts basically with my mom. She's a very good gardener. She always grew vegetables, and she makes a lot of experiments with different kinds of vegetables. And as kids, of course, we saw all of that, and we got to eat the good stuff. And I like to do it too.
In searching for a career, Achim tried mechanical engineering, then landscaping. Farming still beckoned, but the cost of land in Germany remained far out of reach.
At that time, I visited Canada, and I liked Canada very much because of the scenery and the landscape. And I didn't felt at home in Germany. My mother is German, my father is Iranian, and I wasn't a German in Germany. I wasn't an Iranian in Iran. And always kind of felt strange. And in Canada, I liked when we came, for example, to Toronto, this multicultural society and the openness. Nobody looks at you strange because you have black hair and you look like coming from the Middle East. So, and I felt that in Canada is a big opportunity to start something new. We came here to the Prince Edward County because of the mild climate, and we bought the farm and started farming. The farm actually was the first farm we had a look at. And I fell in love right away, despite the farmland not being the perfect land for growing crops.
Early in the new century, Karen and Matt Caruana moved from Toronto to Porcupine Creek Farm in Northumberland County. As we talk, Karen prepares radishes for a farmer's market in the city.
We knew we both wanted to work together and we wanted it to be outside. And we've both gardened. I grew up with my mum who's an avid gardener. We are both also very interested in herbs and herbal remedies, and we're trying to find some kind of a niche that would make sense. Organic anyways, because neither of us had ever used any chemicals in any of our gardens. We started to look east of Toronto rather, but we found that anything within an hour to an hour and a half of Toronto was a bit out of our range. Yeah. So we moved a bit further east and found this, and we were totally fascinated by it because it's got the cheese factory, which was built in 1907. This was the original cheese master's house. And then it's got that old farmhouse, which was built about 1850. And the barn, in addition to being on 100 acres. And our long-term plan is to renovate that old house and then rent this house out to people who want to do a week's farm stay or something like that. So we just saw the potential in this too. It seemed to make a whole lot more sense to do something like that here. I think I'll run the hose over these one more time. Maybe we'll just flip them all over because we didn't get the underside.
On a chilly gray day in November, Peter Finch harvests echinacea at Rolling Hills Organic Farm in Northumberland County.
Well, we moved here in late 99 and we just loved the look of the land. We didn't really have any goals to make anything commercial out of it or even just grow beyond what we really needed. I had an interest in dabbling with some herbs and seeing how they grew, but we didn't know when we bought this land that it had always been organic. And
how did you know that?
The farmer that that owned this property was still around, and we just moved here about a week, and over he comes with a bag of turnips and potatoes as a sort of gift to us, welcome. And he was a good old boy, Carmen Atkinson, and Carmen owned this land, and his farm was just up the hill here. He had 200 acres, and he was seen as the oddball around here who went his own way. People weren't really talking organic much, but that's what he was. He was always organic, and he refused to ever put any pesticides or additives on his land. I think he was sort of ahead of his time, really. You know, the market just wasn't there for these things.
So did you knew that before you bought or after?
No, this was after we bought.
That was lucky.
Well, we were very lucky, yeah. And that's part of the reason why, you know, having this sort of empty canvas, you know, you get out painting, right?
You've been listening to the first of 8 programs in the series Listen to the Land, a season with the Quinte Organic Farmers Co-op. It was produced by Michael Riordan. Music production and engineering by Wesley Weiss and Wolfgang Kastenberger. Thanks to cooperative consultant Russ Christensen for helping to make the project possible. Listen to the Land was generously funded by the Cooperators Cooperative Development Program, the Ontario Cooperative Association Cooperative Development Initiative, the Ontario Natural Food Co-op Community Development Fund, and the Carrot Cash. Drop by again for Program 2, Organics from the Ground Up.